think I get the whiff of immortality as Irish Tip is finding plenty on the lead. Responding to the pink guy power, it's Irish Tip surging clear of the history of Hollywood Park as the Pink Guy Jr. becomes the world's all-time winningest jockey.
This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with jockey Lafitte Pincai Jr. 9,530 wins, $237 million in earnings, 5 Eclipse Awards, the Hall of Fame, 7 Breeders' Cup wins, Biakoa, Skywalker, Grainton, Affirmed, Perot, Creme Fraiche, Caveat, Gate Dancer, Steinland, John Henry, Swale, Spend a Buck, awesome career. It is my pleasure and honor to be in the room with jockey Lafitte Pincai. Welcome to the show, Lafitte.
Hi. Hi, Sean. Thank you very much for having me this morning.
It's our pleasure. It's the first Saturday in May. We'll jump right in there. You won the Kentucky Derby in 1984 with Swale. Tell us about that moment for you. I know you've been trying for a while. What was that like for in your career?
Yes, that's right. The winner on Swale was a dream come true. I've been trying for so many years to try to win, trying to win that race, and it always something happened, always something that it just didn't come my way. Sometimes I got in trouble. Sometimes my horse looks like the winner, and he fade to the stretch. And other times, great horses like Secretaria and Spectacular beat me. So I just for a while didn't think I was going to be able to win it, and then all of a sudden getting the mount on Swale and win it, you know, it was really, really a fabulous day.
Take us through the trip. I mean, was it a dream trip? Did you feel like you were going to win the whole way, one of those races that's just as smooth as silk, or what was that like?
Yes, well, I knew that Swale has some speed, you know, and I use it to get a good position. I wanted to make sure that I didn't lose that much ground in the first turn, and which I did. I was laying in third lane. I was laying perfect most of the way. And he just from then on, I just followed Altea. I moved a little bit too soon, but it was because Altea just fade, you know, the 3-8 pole, between the 3-8 pole and the half a mile pole. She just got tired, and I find myself on the lead, and I wanted to wait a little more, but anyway, I was on the lead, and when the stretch come, when he switched lead, I asked him, and I started hollering at him, and I hit him a couple of times left-handed, and then I hand-rode him, and as the wire came close, you know, I just felt really, really good, and crossing the wire, it was really a fantastic moment for me in my career.
No doubt. And the funny part about being a jockey, I mean, that was actually about halfway through your career, but being a jockey, you never know how long your career will last. So you must be getting that kind of sense of urgency, like you really want to win one like,
yeah,
that. I mean, that is a career maker.
Yeah. For some reason, I don't know. I kept thinking that was going to be my last chance to win the Derby. For some reason, I had that idea. And, of course, I felt a little pressure before the race because I really, really wanted to win that race. And I was very fortunate to win it because the last race that he ran prior to the Derby, He ran in the Lexington Handicap, and he got beat. He got beat way off. And my agent told me that I think we should move to another horse that I was riding in California. And he thought he had a better chance to win the Derby. And I for some reason, thank God he asked me, because most of the time he didn't ask me. You know, he just did on his own, you know, so... So I said to him, no, we're going to stay on Swale, because if he fires, like he fired in the Florida Derby, he's going to be very tough to beat. And thank God that I made that decision.
Wow. Yeah, that's just conviction, right? I mean, you got faith in your horse, and that's so important when you're a jockey, right?
That's right. Well, I not only have faith in him, I have faith in the trainer, you know, what he's sure. doing. You know, I have a lot of faith in him, you know, and he put me in a lot of horses, a lot of winners. So, yeah, I think he had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, what was it like riding for Woody Stevens? I mean, you got on those good horses, Caveat and Conquistador Cielo and Swale, and what was he like to ride for? He give you a lot of instructions, or he give you a lot of confidence? What was that like?
No, he just gave you confidence, but his instructions were good. Were good, and in fact, when I won on Caveat, I remember that he before that race. His prep race, he showed a lot of speed for some reason. And he won. And the trainer, when I went to the paddock, I thought he probably won me the lane 4, 5, or 6, you know. But he came to the paddock and he said to me, listen, you just take this horse way back. And I was very surprised, you know.
Because wow.
That's having confidence in the horse, you know, because most of trainers want to see their horses close to the pace on in a position that they can see him close, you know, not that far back. But he told me, just take him far back, he told me,
wow.
You know. So I did. And sure enough, he came through, he came flying at the end, you know.
That was to win the Belmont, right? One of three in a row, I guess.
Yes, that's right. Cool.
Wow. And other guys you rode for, like a guy like Charlie Whittingham, what was he like to ride for? Did he do the same thing, give you a lot of confidence or instructions, or what was he like?
No, he was very, very good, too. The only thing I remember he used to say to me, listen, son, you're getting some room to go. It's like telling you, just don't get in trouble. Just get him in the outside, and you have plenty of horse. You know, he was such a great trainer, yes.
Yeah, for sure. And you chased Bill Shoemaker. I mean, his career wins, that was a mark for you for a long time. What was that like when you reached Bill Shoemaker? Was there a moment where you kind of took a deep breath, or what was that like? I know it had to be a goal of yours to go after him.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it was also a dream come true, you know, beating the record of the best rider, my idol. And I once that I got closer, you know, even though I wasn't getting that many mounts, but I just kept the hope and I kept trying and I switched my diet and things started going better. And little by little, when it was close, I remember when I was about maybe 800 winners behind, I said, I'm going to do it, you know, and sure enough, you know, little by little got close, and that day came up, and, you know, it was fantastic. It really was.
And I get, as a jockey, I mean, it is the individual winners, but, I mean, it's funny to look at some and say, okay, I'm 800 behind, but you can't jump ahead. You got to, I mean, it is one by one every day, and it's really plying your trade and working at it, right?
Yeah, exactly, especially when you're getting older, you know. And,
sure.
Yeah, you're getting older, and the trainers, they are a little bit hesitant to use you. And some guys don't care, you know. Some guys respect still your ability, but some guys, they vary. They don't want to take anything for. They don't want to take any chance with a rider that they might think is older, you know. And they start using the younger rider, the guys that they look probably better on the horses, and that's what it is. It's a tough business, you know. And everybody wants the edge. Everybody
sure.
wants the edge, you know. So. And you can blame him, you know. It's a lot of pressure. The trainers wants to win, the jockeys want to win, the owners want to win, and they always look for the winner. So it's tough. It's a tough, very tough business. And now it's even tougher now because there are not that many horses, you know.
Right, sure.
There are not that many horses, especially for a young rider that he wants to source, yeah, and become a. You know, he doesn't have that many horses to ride every day because the top riders, the ones that are winning all the races, they are right there and working hard and picking out the best mount, and it's tough, you know?
Yeah, I never thought about it. I mean, as a jockey, you think you get, as you get older, you think you'd have more people would have more confidence. But actually, as you get older, you still have to, you almost have to prove that you still have it, right, to trainers.
Yeah, exactly. You have to prove. I have to do that a few times in my career. When I was down and out, I wasn't riding that many good horses, but I always started working harder, trying to do different things and trying to improve myself, and it worked every time. Every time that I got my mind into it, I started doing better. You know, even though before I broke the Shoemaker's record, I wasn't doing that good, that I was going to move to North California. I was going to go over there, yes, and then I changed my mind the last minute. And I said, if I want to stay over here and keep trying, I got to change something, you know. And then I changed my diet and start eating very healthy, very nutritious food. And my strength went up, my energy, wow. And I started riding better, and I started winning races again. And that's how I got to break the record. And after I retired, I was feeling so good that I kept by doing the same thing. You know, I still on my diet, and I eat very healthy, and I'm 74 years old, and I still feel very young. I could do anything right now, you know.
Wow, I love it. You don't split that peanut four ways on a flight. I mean, that's a great story, right? I mean, is that really the truth? I mean, that really happened.
No. To tell you the truth, I don't remember that.
No, it's a great racetrack story about you taking a peanut and splitting it in four pieces and eating it across a flight. But I mean that's great to know that you're 74. I mean you retired with a broken neck, but that doesn't bother you. I mean you're in good health today.
Yes, not at all. You know, for a while it really. He got tense. Every time I did something strenuous, it got tense, and I had to I put this massage my neck and trying to alleviate it, you know. But as time went by, you know, I don't have to do anything anymore, and it's fine. It really is fine. Yes.
Wow, that's great. Who was the best horse you rode? I mean, I know it's a tough question, like picking a child, but it was the brilliance of Affirmed or the quirkiness of Gate Dancer or Bayakoa? I mean, who would you? I mean, you're undefeated on Affirmed. Who was the best?
Well, definitely, Affirmed was the best horse I ever rode because he was consistent. He carried a lot of weight. He broke a few records. You know, he's a smart horse. I could do anything I wanted with him. He has speed. He could come from behind. Believe me, he could do so many things. This horse, you know. Yes, very smart horse.
Yes. And you can, I mean, you can feel that. I mean, you get on a horse like Affirmed, you know, even if you didn't know who it was, you'd feel how good that horse is.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And I'm from the beginning, you know, I thought it was something very special when he came to Hollywood Park that first year. He only broke his maiden. He won maybe a couple of races, a maiden and an allowance race, I think. And then he came to ride the juvenile stake at Hollywood Park. And then Lázaro Barrera told me one morning, I want you to walk this horse for me. And my agent had told me that I was going to ride a good 2-year-old for Lázaro Barrera. So I went to work in that morning. And I worked him, and believe me, he was looking around, you know. I went 5/8 miles. He was looking around, you know, and I kept like, you know, I don't want him to walk too slow either, you know, but I don't want him to go too fast. But it didn't seem like it went fast at all. So after the workout, Lázaro, he asked me, he says, how fast did he go? I said, well, Lázaro, he was looking around a lot, you know. It didn't seem like he wanted to put up too much, you know. And I think he went in like a 101. He said, well, he went in 58 and change. I couldn't believe it.
Wow, isn't that something?
And then he won by 7 lengths in the juvenile. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's the definition of a good horse, right? They're going fast, but don't feel like they're going fast.
Exactly. Yes.
I even rode a few jumpers that felt that way.
Yeah.
But only a few. Well, when you look back at your success, how much of it is luck and how much of it is hard work and talent?
Well, I tell you, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of ability too. But of course, you can win races with luck. Sometimes you are at the right place at the right time. You know, sometimes it's like you've been in the race and all of a sudden you have no place to go and you're coming down the stretch. There's no place to go and you don't think you're gonna get through, and you get a little like, gosh, I'm gonna get beat because I have no place to go.
Right.
And all of a sudden something open up, a little hole open up, and you get lucky and you go through and you win the race. You know, and
yeah, sure.
And just lucky that space open up, because if it doesn't open up, you are not gonna win.
Right, sure.
So, but sometimes you just get stuck behind, and there's nothing you can do, and you have to wait until the next time and see if they are not upset with you and let you ride the horse again. And yeah, because in this business, you know, if the trainer or owner think you're costing the race, he's not going to use you next time, you know. So,
sure.
Yeah, they take you off and put somebody else, and, you know, and it's not even your fault, and you lose the mount.
Right. Yeah, it happens every day, right?
Yes, a lot. Yes.
Well, one final question. There's a bunch of guys riding the Derby. What would you get one piece of advice for them? What would you tell them?
Well, just be prepared and just try not to get in trouble, which sometimes it can be, it's hard, it's not easy, you know, in so many horses. Years past, I would say 25 years ago, the fields were very small, 12 horses probably, maybe 13. But now you see 20 horses, you know, it's tough, especially if you come from behind. And just try to ride a good race, that's all, you know, and be careful, because a lot of horses, it could be a lot of traffic, you know, and just try to ride a good race, you know, and be prepared.
That's Lafitte Pinkeye Jr., a living legend. Nobody did it better. Thanks, Lafitte. It's an honor for you to be on the show, and all the best.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Thank you for having me.